You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Bob Hoy. He's a market historian and the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, here we are, Friday morning again. Wonderful.
We're going to be talking about gold, and the first thing I'd like to mention is the three miners trapped underground in northern BC at the Newmont mine have been rescued safely.
Yeah.
60 hours underground in a specially designed rescue capsule.
Yeah, I was impressed to read that they had a safety station. And I, one winter, was a geologist over in Western Mines Western Mines on the south end of Buttle Lake. And I know what being underground is like, and this was good news.
Now, we'd like to talk about the junior gold miners. Are they have they really picked up, and what's the story there?
Yeah, Ross's advice yesterday was that generally the move in the junior golds is now overbought, so we can have what I would guess, Jim, is an intermediate correction in the play. So it depends what kind of a trader you are. I would intermediate term stay with the play.
My question for you is, silver has been finally taking off after gold's huge run. Is it too late to get into silver?
Oh yeah, it was in that band. And then you knew it was going to pop up. Silver was just, you know, what the silver bugs are like. So, and it has popped a significant amount. And it is not, I wouldn't chase it. Just see where it goes. Because often we've been looking for a straight up, it's been an everything bubble and everything going straight up right into this time window, and it included silver, but it's popped, so I wouldn't chase it. And then you have the problem that if we do go into a financial crisis, that is the time when silver gets hit relative to gold. So the gold-silver ratio can go against the silver nuts. They rest entirely upon supply-demand. And then they proudly point out the numbers that each year there's more silver consumed than there is mined, and therefore it is going to go up all of the time. But they don't understand that silver is a key financial item, and silver underperforms gold in a financial contraction.
Going back to the 1970s when the Hunt brothers tried to corner the silver market, is it so tiny that just a few investors could corner it and force it to go up?
Oh, yeah. Well, that one became, oh, God, they had Arab money and everything was lined up with the Hunt brothers. And that one, I don't know. No, I think they got damaged when it fell apart. And that was an attempt to set a corner in a bull market for a commodity. And they just took it to the nth degree. And then it crashed.
Now we'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye today. The first one, Bank of America authorizes $40 billion stock repurchase plan. This from Reuters.
Oh, yeah. Stock price is high, and the board of directors are speculating in the stock market. And speculating in the stock market is a world of difference between properly running a bank.
Stock buybacks, should they be allowed?
Oh, yeah. Let me think about that one. Why don't I think about that, and we can make a note and discuss it next week.
From Bloomberg, Tesla sales fall most in a decade in another rough quarter.
Yeah. The electric car fad was highly promoted, and it was essentially that a virtue signaling because you didn't get any carbon dioxide gas coming out of the tailpipe. They called it emissions. And and of course, governments were part of the promotion. And they really, a car EV is really very expensive. And it was subsidized, as we know, the subsidies are disappearing. So you have then a car that is very expensive to build, and it requires various rare earth elements that are mined by almost children in very severe places. And the virtue signaling really went for it. But I think the mania for EVs ran its course and is now in a state of collapse.
Also in China, they're producing high-quality, low-cost EVs, no doubt subsidized by the government. That makes it very hard for him to sell EVs in a market where there's still some promise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a fad, and the fad is over.
Is there enough copper being mined to meet the demand for making EVs if that continues? And don't forget, an electrical vehicle uses 277% more copper than a regular car does.
Yeah.
Something like 183 kilos of copper versus 83 kilos for an electrical vehicle. Is there enough copper being mined to build all these electric cars that governments have mandated by 2030 or 2035? Plus, don't you need more electrical infrastructure for all of this demand?
Oh yeah, but you get that on every bull market for copper. Out come the stories about special usages and all that sort of stuff. Sure, we got copper at record highs, but it's part of the financial boom. And after these, we'll go through the little routine here, is that on data back to 1825, the real price of copper goes up with the boom, and then it goes down with the bust. And then this is opposite to what happens to gold. In the final year or so of a mania, gold's real price goes down, and then with the bust, gold's real price goes up. And the miners, gold miners make money, so they increase gold production, and it provides real liquidity into the banking system when all of the paper proxies for credit are trashed and in the ash can. So, I will give you an example of the outlook for copper and copper stocks. Is I've got a chart showing the price, an index of copper producers from, they had a peak at, I think, around 450 on this index in 1872. And the boom, that financial boom, completed in 1873. Then you went into the 1873 to 1895 depression, and the copper stock index went all the way from 450 all the way down to about 40. So copper miners, post-bubble, forget about it. It's just dangerous territory.
Palladium and platinum have had a really good run. What's behind that, Bob?
Oh, I think it's just part of the speculative mania. I don't follow those two metals. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly just part of the mania going on out there. The everything mania, Jim.
Now, I haven't seen anything about non-fungible things going on where they had pictures of smoking monkeys and so on. Being a bit, was this one of those trendy things like Beanie Babies?
yeah. Let's call it. That's a good one, Jim, yeah.
And now it's some other kind of toy where everybody has to get one, and of course in 3 years we'll...
Well, it's the EVs. That's the Beanie Baby of today.
Try putting that on your keychain. They don't even have keys anymore.
No, let alone chains.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, taking a look at the stock markets where it seems every day we're setting record highs in the S&P or the NASDAQ. Does it look like it's too toppy and we're due for a major correction this fall?
Oh, yeah. Now, our at the first of the year, our target was, outlook was that stock market good times into mid-year. And it could be very strong good times, which we have. And then now we're pointing out that it is... This is it's on our charts. This is getting into an upside exhaustion, and sure, we thought it would peak around mid-year, like around now. But hey, maybe it is because we're getting all kinds of technical excesses on it. So somewhere here, a correction will start, and it could dither around in August. But then, as we all know, that if there's going to be a credit crisis, it will be more than likely discovered in the fall. So this is going to be a very interesting August and then September. Yeah, it'll be interesting, Jim.
President Trump continues to put pressure on Fed Chair Jerome Powell to drop rates, should he?
No, I'm writing, actually, still working on it, an open letter to President Trump about central banks and interest rates. And for our conversation here, one wants to dwell upon the fact that short-dated interest rates, such as Treasury bills, go up in the boom. Without, you know, that's forever. Then, when the boom is over, those Treasury bill rates head down, and they eventually get to zero. But the decline in Treasury bill rates is accompanied by a disaster in the stock market. So, as I say, I'm going to do an open letter to President Trump, and who knows, it might drift his way. And then, in the last couple of days, part of Trump's issue with the Federal Reserve is that they have been building new or renovating new offices, and it is very grand and expensive, and Trump knows about real estate. So the Federal Reserve system is in a very bad situation. Now, we want to go back on this, and way back when, in the early 1900s, the powers that be knew that when you had a financial crisis, it would be followed by a recession. So they then invented the lender of last resort that would come in and prevent the credit crisis, and that would prevent recessions. Presto, Jim, there would be no more recessions.
And how has that worked out?
Well, that was in the early 1905, 1910, and there have been 18 cyclical recessions since. Now, in any solid discipline, one failure would be enough to condemn a theory. We now have 18 failures on a still highly cherished theory, and it is so pathetic to see. However, they will never ever get off the idea that some committee at the Federal Reserve will manage things and banish the recession. It's still there, sadly.
Doesn't that meet Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Jim. Thanks for that one, yeah.
And our last headline here from Zero Hedge, Trump administration slashes 25% of IRS workforce in sharp reversal of Biden-era expansion.
Oh, yeah, now that's got to be good news to anybody. Now, also, in notes elsewhere, Trump is hopeful of getting rid of the IRS. And with the funding to operate the federal government, he wants to shrink the size of the federal government and then pay for it through tariffs, which was the case for hundreds and hundreds of years in the senior economy. And then they brought in with the First World War, came in the concept of income taxes. And at the time, serious writers and financial magazines and stuff condemned it as being immoral. You taxed a person's income before they even got it, so to speak. So this would be good. The federal government demands for money will diminish. It'll be paid for through tariffs, and the IRS will not just be diminished, but canceled. And if that happens in the States, we in Canada, of course, will see it and would put pressure on the feds in Canada to get rid of income tax. It'll be wonderful.
Well, we've had word that Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, plans to slash the federal workforce. 60,000 people could be out of work.
Oh, I don't trust that guy. No. He's a real climate zealot, and he may talk one story, but underneath it, they will be doing something else. No. Carney is not to be trusted.
Do you think we'll see pipeline expansion under Carney?
I think Daniel Smith in Alberta and Premier Moe in Saskatchewan and the province of Alberta seems to be going along with it. They're going to build that pipeline, and to hell with the feds in Ottawa, because they just do not understand what's going on. But if it was still normal times, Carney would use whatever he could to, they would find reasons to prevent pipelines being built. Whereas this one, as I say, with Daniel Smith, the pipeline is going to get built and Ottawa is out of the picture. I love it.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.